The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Won't you be seated?
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. It's a pleasure to be worshiping with you today. You know, I've been already made to feel welcome by those I've met and worked with so far, and I hope that I get the opportunity to meet all of you after worship today. I bring you greetings this morning on behalf of the Mission Investment Fund of the ELCA, which is a ministry of our church that is sort of a compilation, if you will, of individuals and congregations who invest dollars, and those dollars get pooled together in order to help out other ELCA congregations with loans and other services. And if you're not too familiar with it, there is a bulletin insert today that describes a little bit more about MIF. One of those other services is Capital Campaign Consulting, which is, of course, is what brings me here today. And I'm honored to be able to help Christ Lutheran with this campaign that we are calling Strong in Faith, Today's Vision, Tomorrow's Mission. And as we work together over these next 2 months, I hope that you'll get involved. There will be a variety of ways. You're going to be able to watch your mail, watch your email, and you'll hear about some of those opportunities. We'll even talk about a couple of them after worship today. So please get involved if you can, and I also hope that you will include me in your prayers, as I am going to be including all of you in mine each day. As we officially kick off this campaign, I'd like to reflect on the words of the gospel that we just read in Matthew, where we hear Jesus saying this to us: "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine so that others can see it. Then they will see the good things you do, and they will bring glory to your Father in heaven." These words of Jesus are part of the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is addressing a crowd, and that crowd includes all of us, when he claims that each of us is a light of the world. While light is hard to define, we would all agree that light is very important in our lives, especially important in the dark. Can't see much without it. And whatever the source, today it's mostly electrical. Back in the first century, mostly fire. Light is important. So how wonderful to hear Jesus claim that each of us is as important to the world as light. You are important. You are the light of the world. Each of us comes into the world with one light to shine. Jesus wants us to be a light, and Jesus wants us to shine a light. My son, who is an adult now, was a Boy Scout throughout his youth. His troop was avid about monthly campouts. In fact, they held the record in the Heart of America Council for more than 10 years of consecutive monthly campouts. They never missed a month. And we're talking Kansas here. Camping requires the right tools and equipment. And over those years, my son would approach me multiple times asking and making a case for yet another new flashlight or lantern. "Mom, I need one that will have higher illumination. Mom, I need one that straps to my cap. I need one that will fit in my pocket. I need one big enough for the entire campsite." I began to wonder at one point, where does it end? Just how many flashlights does one boy need? And if you've ever been the parent of a scout, you know the answer to that is infinite. But certainly as a parent, I wanted my son to be safe and not get lost on these campouts. And even novice campers know that it's necessary to have two lights for your camping. One that can be the light, illuminating the campsite while you're in it. The other that can shine the light as you go out beyond the campsite, especially into the dark. Well, back to Matthew 5, our gospel lesson for today. This is one of my favorite New Testament passages, I must confess. And as I began working with this congregation, it's a passage that just seemed to fit, because I'm already starting to feel and get the impression that this congregation is a unique collection of individual lights. And coming together then, Christ Lutheran Church is a light of the world. Jesus does want Christ Lutheran to be a light so that others can find their way to us, find their way to God's love and grace and feel comfortable here, to becoming disciples. And Jesus wants Christ Lutheran to shine a light out there beyond the walls as we go out and serve those who need our help, as we go out and spread the gospel. You may know that there are thousands of congregations across the ELCA in this country, each different in some way from the next. There is one thing that all these congregations have in common. All strive for the same mission, which is God's mission. It's the mission God has given to us, to make disciples of all people. We find that in the Gospel of Matthew 2. Sometimes we refer to it as the Great Commission. But it's a mission for all these congregations. What is unique to each congregation is its vision for ministry, its vision for doing the ministry work. Each congregation is blessed by God with a vision for ministry, and each congregation is called by God to serve in a unique way to a community that is unique in its needs. Well, how does a congregation find out what its vision for ministry is? Usually it's a process of praying, listening, opening up to hear what and identify what God's vision is for that specific congregation. I like to boil it down sometimes and say a congregation will know their vision for ministry if they can answer this question: why does God have us existing in this place and time? Over the years, I've worked with a lot of congregations, and one I want to tell you about this morning kind of can answer that question pretty well. It's a little Lutheran community called Hope Lutheran in Rolla, Missouri, or Missouri, as we say in the Midwest. And it's a community, it's a mid-sized community right in the center of Missouri. And it has a engineering college in town, there's a hospital, and nearby is the Army base, Fort Leonard Wood. About 15 years ago, this small group of faithful people, 30 of them, came together and they said, you know, there's not a Lutheran church here. We think God is calling us to do some ministry in this community. And they felt and heard God calling them to do three things. And that was to have outreach to the patients, the hospital, to the college students, and to the military families. So they started out and says, this is what we're supposed to be doing. And they started doing it, and like most new starts, they didn't have much. They had only 30 people, they didn't have hardly any money, they had no pastor, they had no building. They rented a facility several miles out of town, and I'm not even going to be kind in describing that. It was just not a really attractive facility, but it was theirs. And they worshiped there, and they got together, and they started doing their ministry work. And things were chugging along, but soon they reached a kind of a barrier, and they recognized it was their location and their building that was holding them back. A building came up for sale in town. It was a little white steepled church building. It was right across the street from the campus. They thought it was perfect for them. Mission Investment Fund gave them a loan, and they moved in, and so there they were. I worshiped with them right after they moved in. They were tickled pink to have their own building. And they have a pastor, but that Sunday, there were 27 of them there. I met all 27. We worshiped, had coffee and cookies, of course, in the back room, and they made their plans, and they went out to do their ministries. So things were moving along fine. 3 years later, I worshiped with them again, went back. They had done some nice little touches to the building to make it their own. They had a part-time pastor by this point. And I worshiped with them, and there were still 27 people, same 27, and we had coffee and cookies, and it was obvious that their ministries had taken off like wildfire. They were making plans to go out for the week, who was going to fix the supper and the Bible study for the college students who were coming over on Wednesday night, who was making the frogs and delivering the frogs to the hospital patients. I know that sounds really strange, but they have a ministry called Frog Ministry. They make stuffed frogs, and the ministry stands for F-R-O-G, Fully Rely on God. And so instead of quilts, they make frogs, hundreds of them. So it was obvious that their ministries had taken off like wildfire, and things were moving along pretty good, but I said to myself, well, there's still only 27 people here. I thought, But then I had my own aha moment, and it dawned on me, like it clearly dawned on them, that that was not at the top priority list of what God had asked them to do. That was not their vision for ministry, at least not at the top, to bring people in and try to increase their membership. God had given them three things to do, and they were doing it very well. And to this day, they are still chugging along, and I just think they have clarity in their vision for ministry. Now, I tell you this example, not that every congregation should be doing the same or be exactly like this Little Hope Lutheran community. My point is they have clarity in their vision for ministry. And I think here at Christ Lutheran, there is clarity as well. We know why God has this congregation existing, right? Isn't it true that this congregation has heard God's calling? You have a pretty clear vision statement. And if you haven't read it for a while, I'm going to read it for you. I think it's pretty good. It says, we are a visible, thriving, welcoming community of faith, deeply committed to worshiping and serving the triune God. Our goal is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all, impacting lives of those in need through outreach. That vision is pretty clear. And that statement kind of breaks down into two parts. And if you'll allow me just a minute to kind of unpack it, here's what I interpret from it. Here's what I read. The first part of it says this, be visible, thriving, welcoming. Now that's with your visitors, your members, your neighbors, anybody that comes here and walks in the door so that they'll know God's love and grace and grow as disciples. I hear that as be the light. The second part of your vision statement says this, share the good news impacting lives through outreach. Well, that means you're growing outreach capacity, expanding ministries out beyond the walls into the community and even farther. I hear that as shine the light. Notice that this vision isn't passive. We're talking movement and active verbs here. Welcome, thrive, serve, impact, grow. It's an active and bold ministry vision. But so is this gospel that we are happy to proclaim. Well, what does one do with a vision when you've recognized that you've got it? A vision usually comes packaged with two other things, a plan so that you can achieve it, and tools and resources to carry out the plan. And if you take that into everyday life for just a second to look at an example, let's just pick the example that I have a vision to take a trip around the world. Well, in order to achieve my vision, I'm going to need a plan. The plan might include an itinerary. It might include a plan for how I'm going to have somebody pet sit or house sit for me. And then I'm going to need tools and resources to carry out the plan. And those tools and resources might include money, visas, forms of transportation, maybe maps. So all of that packages together to make it possible to achieve the vision. Now let's translate that to what we see here in this congregation's current situation. Do we have the ministry vision? Check. It's given to us by God. We just read it. What about the ministry plan to achieve the vision? Yes, that plan is taking pretty good shape. First of all, certainly the renovation task force has helped give us the first part of the plan so that we can move forward. And then the second part probably comes and gets written when each of the ministry teams here lays out their objectives for this year and for many years beyond so that they align with the vision as well. And then thirdly, tools and resources. Let's talk about those for just a minute. Do we have the right ones? Do we have enough? Well, I think one marvelous resource already in place, at least that I see, is the collective experience and gifts that you all bring to this assembly. I see wide range of life and career experiences, willingness to serve, selfless giving, stable finances. Those are marvelous resources. Another resource for which we can give thanks are the partnerships, the ones that you already have in place with other ministry organizations or other agencies, such as the Hunger Coalition, St. James Soup Kitchen, Family Promise, Habitat for Humanity, and the South Carolina Synod of the ELCA. And then there's the facility as a resource and tool, and we want it to be a tool that stays sharp and in good condition. However, I think most of us recognize we've reached a point where this facility is showing some of its age and some deterioration, and it needs some refreshing and some renewal. Certainly, we give kudos to the Carpenters for Christ because they are able to dedicate their time and their skills to making sure that ongoing repairs and fixes are taken care of. And beyond that, I also commend all of you for approving the plan that will address major renovation to make sure that this facility stays relevant, continues to be inviting and accessible, and will serve this congregation and the ministry vision for many years to come. So now is the time to move forward, and the time for the people of Christ Lutheran that God is calling to step forward in faith and in generosity to raise funds for this renovation plan. Today we kick off this campaign for that purpose, and over the next 5 weeks, we will, as a community of believers, talk about God's grace and gifts and the work that we do for God's mission. We'll share our plans, our dreams, our concerns. We'll give praise for God's love and gifts. We'll dwell in the Word, and we'll pray. We'll pray for this congregation, we'll pray for our community, and we'll pray about our commitment to this vision for ministry. We will also help each other grow in faith and in generosity. And we will make each of us understand the grace and the love that God has granted here. It will take each one of us, every one of us, to make this campaign a success. Each person, no matter your age or background, each gift, no matter how small or large, and each light within us, coming together to be united in common vision. I hope that you will be part of it. I invite you to be part of it, because I'm confident that with God's help, Christ Lutheran will continue to be a light for the world and will continue to shine a light for the world, and that will indeed make our Father in heaven and bring glory to him. Thanks be to God.